Test.
Check this out.
Ranger.
Autonomous Action Radio, a multimedia radio show, a website, an idea, a suggestion, an action plan. Because it's up to us now.
This communique will most likely be marked and destroyed shortly after it is discovered. Listen on at your own risk.
It's shouting back at the TV. Yeah, a fair go astray is not what we voted for. The heartless still run the country. These days I can't finish a death sentence without cursing all the time. Yeah, the tears have sank the boat. You hear a story. I don't have the courage myself. But when I rode past the dealership, saw the car set on fire, man, it looks like we still have some heroes left. Contribute to the decline of the place that I call home. When an old man in a supermarket says what no woman will turn your rejection. And we still have some heroes left. We still have some heroes left.
Good afternoon, welcome to the Anarchy Show. My name is Linda and I'm here with Peter.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in, Peter. Hello. Coming up today, we're going to be talking more about the G20, which is coming up in November the 15th.
Get used to the sound of helicopters, people.
Oh yeah, I've been hearing helicopters around. And the first song you heard today was called We Still Have Some Heroes Left by a guy called Shifty O'Malley, who is from Australia but is based in Stockholm in Sweden. And he's got a Bandcamp, shiftyomalley.bandcamp.com, and you can find that song. And it's a Name Your Price song. So we're going to be talking about the G20 and also the global climate. I'm going to play the final part of the Guy McPherson talk on climate change and human extinction, and that ties in nicely with a conference which is happening this week, which is the Australian Climate Summit, which is happening in Brisbane. But first of all, so we're getting ready for Security City, and the G20 crackdown has begun in Cairns because there's a finance minister's meeting in Cairns. And I am pleased to announce that Cairns is safe from grannies with anti-G20 stickers and people with spray chalk spraying G20 messages. The G20 finance minister's meeting will be held in Cairns next weekend, September the 20th and 21st. At the meeting will be delegates and staff from 24 countries and 12 international organisations such as the IMF and the UN.
The World Bank.
And the World Bank.
Powers that be.
All those other acronyms. A 64-year-old grandmother has had her house raided by four police officers who were searching for stickers. They confiscated her phone, dug through her rubbish, and searched her car. And they were trying to find anti-G20 stickers, which read, G20 benefits the 1%. Because stickers such as these pose such a threat to the smooth running of the finance meeting, photocopy shops in Cairns have been advised not to print anti-G20 materials. And Officeworks has reportedly complied. Rest assured that it's not just stickers the police are protecting Cairns from, but also spray chalk.
I never knew such a thing existed.
Spray chalk. Two offenders, Aletta Kathleen Tulk and a co-offender Mark Brooker, pleaded guilty to willful damage in the Cairns Magistrate Court after using spray chalk to write G20 benefits the 1% on a path. There's a theme there, isn't there? G20, 1%. On a path at the northern end of the Esplanade in Cairns on July 24. They were given a $400 good month behaviour bond each for the graffiti, which was removed easily by community service workers.
It's actual chalk?
Yes. Miss Tulk was quoted in the Cairns Post as saying, "We wanted to make a statement because, you know, we're fed up. I even tested it before on my own driveway to make sure it would wash off."
It rains in Cairns. It would have washed off. Oh, I'm shocked.
So how's that for, like, vandals with a conscience? With a public safety, yeah. Public nuisance conscience. I've been told to behave for the next 3 months, so I'll probably keep it to a minimum. I'm not going to do anything outrageous, but ultimately, in the end, that's who I am, and I'll continue to speak out about it. I just won't do it with chalk on the pavement. I suggest spray paint, maybe. Or paste-ups.
I'm flabbergasted. Stickers and chalk?
G20.
What about free speech?
G20 authorities claim they are taking a business-as-usual approach to the finance minister's meeting. However, 60-year-old grandmothers are waking up to their house being raided, photocopy shops are being told to censor what people can copy, and an additional 700 police are steadily arriving in Cairns over the next week. So there's a motto for the G20, Cairns, G20-14, live, visit, do business. And I've changed that to Cairns 2014, live, visit, do as we say. And so I published that article on autonomousactionradio.com, the blog site for the show, autonomousactionradio.com. And as well, I got together some stickers or posters, some images you can make into stickers or posters, and they don't mention the G20.
Aha.
So there's no problem.
Mm.
So the first one says, "Against police, prisons and private property, the only good system is a sound system. Fuck the law, reclaim it all." And the next one has a picture of Joe Hockey, Tony Abbott and Scott Morrison. And it appears that maybe they're being hung. And it says, "The only good parliament is a hung parliament for social revolution." The next one has two pictures. It has a picture of some GMO corn and some people in a sweatshop. And it also has a picture of some happy farmers and some people happily sewing and looking after babies. And it says, choose your future, free trade versus mutual aid.
I think you'll get the message across, Linda. It's sort of like you're avoiding copyright things with you're not using the term G20. It's like, and it's supposed to be governments, isn't it? But it's obviously a lot about just business.
But I'm just saying that those stickers or posters, whatever you make of them, they don't mention the G20. So there shouldn't be a problem. You can photocopy them in Officeworks or your own independent photocopy shop would be better than corporate Officeworks. I personally bought a colour printer, a laser printer for exactly this purpose, so they won't be able to stop me, except maybe they can read. Anyway, I won't mention anything else. We're going to hear another song now. You're listening to 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. And this is the Aniki Show. And we're going to hear a song from Test Their Logic. And this is Crash the Meeting. And it's about Toronto 2010, which is what we're going to talk about today. I've started talking about previous G20s, and today we're going to be talking about the Toronto G20, and I'll explain why after this song.
In the world without opposition to your plans, I'm making it twirl around your greedy fingers. We watching it swirl down the drain. Insane economics unfurl. See, we're not buying what you're selling, even with your propaganda telling media barons rebelling. We're yelling, no justice, no peace in the streets. It's just us versus the elite's police. See, a better world we see, so we're free when we speak. Oil's at its peak, and we got at a beat. The status quo will keep us unable to speak. On our knees, saying please, we reap what we sow. So you know the whole plan. Man is out of control, they go to hold power while we get the blindfold. Truth be told, it's the same old song and dance. We're down to the wire, might be our last chance to advance. Humanity, take your stance. The power of the people, a street romance. United, we cannot be defeated. G20, we're ready, T-Dot, it's time to greet them. G-A, G20, they, you, we, many. G-A, G20, they, you, we, many. Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting. Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting. Chattering the so-called social peace. Windows getting smashed live on TV. 2010 is here, confront the beast. Reclaim the streets, fuck the police. Bringing that fire, it's incendiary. Cause they're locking down streets with the military. And the progress is death, it's a cemetery. This ain't Canada, this is native territory. Turtle Island, East Coast of Salish. Fucking colonizer, just keep on taking. February 2010, confront invasion. G20 duly, base tree blazing. Destroy the SBB wherever it gets stationed. Take over everything with occupation. War evolves, more self-determination. Social war against our nations. No control against domination. Against the empire and its colonization. Against the war and the government agents. Against authority for liberation. G-A, G20, they, you, we, many. G-A, G20, they, you, we, many. Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting. Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting. G-A, G20, they, you, we, many. G-A, G20, they, you, every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting. Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting.
And that was Test Their Logic and G8 G20 Crash the Meeting Toronto 2010. And I went along to the public forum for the G20, which was held at the East Leagues Club in West End, Davies Park in West End, last Tuesday night. I'm getting my Easts and Wests and Souths mixed up. The South Leagues Club, Davies Park, West End, and as well as some community members such as Robin Taubenfeld from BrisCan, and that's the Brisbane Community Action Network, and Sam Watson. There were politicians, Helen Abrahams and Jackie Trad, the member for South Brisbane. Helen Abrahams, a local council member for the Gabba Ward. Also, there was the Deputy Commissioner, Ross Barnett, the G20 commander, who was rather quiet, and the Assistant Commissioner, Katrina Carroll, who is the G20 Ops Commander, who spoke more without saying much at all. I think the reason why the meeting was held, it was to allay some community fears about the over-policing of the area and people not being allowed into their community if they live in South Brisbane or West End. And the police managed to avoid giving much detail of those questions. But also what was mentioned was that there's going to be road closures as well around West End. So, and around the whole city, they've been doing practices about that as well. So the G20 in Toronto was mentioned quite a lot when they spoke of violence, and the G20 in Toronto was the main one which was spoken about with violence because of the actions of the Black Bloc, which is something which is being feared in the Australian media, that there's going to be a Black Bloc here in Brisbane. But I highly doubt that that's going to happen in Brisbane. But my advice, if you're going to any protests against the G20, make sure you bring a mask or a balaclava or a mask, just in case something goes down. And also, it's time to start getting fit for the G20. I've been riding my bike, but I'm going to start running as well to be fit for the G20, to be running around. Even doing media, you need to be pretty fit to keep up with what's going on, especially because the police have segues this year. So the G20 in Toronto was mentioned quite a lot because of the failures in the policing, I think they were called. But I actually was sitting at the meeting going, I think that the resistance was a huge success in Toronto. And we're going to hear now from The Stimulator, It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, with his roundup after the Toronto G20. He was there and he did a number of reports, but this is the final roundup from the G20, and it's called The Revolution Is Now Requires a Language and Concept Warning.
This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Thank you very much.
We gotta keep this network growing bigger and bigger, keep challenging power and all its manifestations. They're afraid. They need $1 billion to fight us. We're the ones with the power. When we unite and we realize our power, there's no stopping us.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, the number one window replacement service outlet.
The reason I would choose Access Glass is because we're very prompt. We have rapid service, and if the glass can be replaced that night, it'll be put in that night instead of boarding up and going back the next day.
I'm your host, The Stimulator, and I know you're just dying for me to play some riot porn. But But before I do that, I must pay my respects to the peeps who organized last Friday's Justice for Our Communities rally. You see, confronting the security apparata and smashing capitalism is only one side of the motherfucking resistance. The other side is the folks building roots in the community while providing alternatives to the fucking corrupt beasts that we are trying to liberate ourselves from. Here is Moham Mishra, one of the organizers of Friday's action.
You can see from the demonstration the police presence today was outrageous. To see so many police on the street, essentially turning the city into an armed camp, trying to stop people from communities around the city from being able to voice their concerns.
You see, when you expose the system for the failure that it is, and show peeps a different way to see the world, the motherfucking ruling elites start getting trigger happy. Friday's march saw an escalation of pig presence, even though the event was billed as a music-filled block party.
I am with a group of people who are all here with their children, very intentionally.
That's right. This diverse group of organizers created a friendly space and even provided loads of food and childcare for the motherfucking resistance. And as a bonus, the food was fucking tasty. When the crowd finally took to the streets, one could see how many different struggles were represented. Migrants, disabled peeps, trans and queers, and brown peeps from all parts of the world united in their desire to better the planet, to not just hope that things will change, but to actively work to make that shit real. As the fun-filled street carnival spread like sugar all over T-Dot, the motherfucking pigs came in Darth Vader style and attempted to piss on our parade.
Get out!
The popo also formed a wall of bacon in front of the police museum and Discovery Center. Now try to remember the scene, because the next day the situation will look very different. In the end, the motherfucking resistance shut them down, and the street party circled around the city for several hours, ending in a tent city and a dance party well into the wee hours, where for one night, people lived in the world they wanted to see.
Who are you? Who are you in the world? This is true. Who am I in the sky? That's no lie. Who are we? We're the ones who can see. Who are we? We're the ones who can be. The people who are gonna set free. The world bring equality. A life built on quality. It's easy to see. You and me are the ones.
On Saturday morning, a humongous rally of many different groups gather at Queen's Park to let blah blah motherfucking blah. You already know what happened there. That's a fucking lootly nothing. On the back of the march, well, that's a different story. The Get Off the Fence contingent was billed as a confrontational, anti-colonial, anti-capitalist convergence where
we will take back our city from these exploitative profiteers. And in the streets we will be uncontrollable. This is a militant march, where many forms of resistance and tactics are welcomed and respected.
This uncontrollable expression of rage kicked off with a big splash as a sea of black clad freedom fighters broke off from the main march and swarmed and smashed this pigmobile. Now for those who say that the police abandoned the cop cars so that the black bloc could smash them, you're absolutely right about the smashing and the abandoning. But absolutely wrong about the motivation. The police did abandon this car, but only after it was smashed. After this explosive start, for the next hour, all you could hear was... Do you know what that is? That's the sound of capitalism being smashed. I cannot even count how many corporate stores were vandalized. Starbucks, Adidas, Burger King, Starbucks, American Apparel, Starbucks, to name just a few. I suspect that at Tim Hortons, a Canadian corporate donut store, the popo were able to get there before the block, as the shelves that normally stock pig fuel were already empty. But corporate chains were not the only ones that got smashed. Jewelry stores and porn stores were also targeted. But the crowning symbol of this powerful demonstration of courage was the burning of cop cars. Banks were also high on the target list, and I can say without a doubt that every single motherfucking financial institution along the way got its just deserves. The scum-sucking corporate media and the subservient state-run media were also not welcome with this new vision of the world. Remember this building?
Your band's getting fucked up.
Well, the pigs were not that brave this time around and stood back like stiff statues as the resistance remodeled the pig museum. This was a fitting symbol, because when we abolish the police, the only memory of their past existence will be in the halls of a museum. Yep, that day the people were writing their own history, as the space of corporate rule was stolen back and placed in the hands of the new pioneers. It's only appropriate that I steal back Walt Whitman's words from the walls of the smashed Levi store.
Pioneers. Oh, pioneers. Come, my tan-faced children. Follow well in order. Get your weapons ready. Have you your pistols? Have you your sharp-edged axes, pioneers, oh, pioneers? For we cannot tarry here. We must march, my darlings. We must bear the brunt of danger. We, the youthful, sinewy races, all the rest on us depend. Pioneers, oh pioneers. Oh, you youths, Western youths, so impatient, full of action, full of manly pride and friendship. Plain I see you, Western youths. See you tramping with the foremost. Pioneers, oh pioneers. We debouch upon a newer, mightier world, varied world. Fresh and strong the world we seize. Pioneers. Oh, pioneers.
Just like in February, when the motherfucking resistance smashed shit up in Vancouver, the detractors came out in droves.
There have been very, very serious allegations, or indeed proof, of police infiltration and use of agent provocateur.
This time we were well prepared for the backlash from liberals and lefties, but the backlash became less about why smashy smash is bad, and sounded more like a dumb motherfucking Alex Jones conspiracy theory.
I don't know why the police didn't stop them. I saw them go. They were really easy to stop. When they started to torch that car, there were riot police all around. They just sat and watched them do it. Now, I want to know why they didn't stop them.
So your advice or your question is you thought the police should have stopped them right then and there?
Right at the beginning. Yeah, right at the beginning.
That was champagne liberal Judy Rebick. Just like the police in the last segment, she is a relic of the past. The idea that Rebick is pushing on young impressionable minds is the same load of horseshit that the mainstream media and the stupid motherfucking Alex Jones sheeple have been spreading in the internet. That cops let it happen. But even smart peeps like Naomi Klein drank the TO50 false flag dingleberry Kool-Aid.
And so what happened is that the bosses of this police force and other police forces decided to play public relations. And instead of doing their jobs, they let the city burn. They let those cop cars burn.
Such a defeatist attitude is pretty fucking sad. Now, I am not suggesting that we dismiss Klein altogether. Her analysis of corporate rule is an important part of our movement, but it would be wrong not to call her out on her blunder. For those of us who were there, what we saw was cops running scared and losing control of the situation every step of the way. The mass arrest of peaceful demonstrations that followed for the next 24 hours was a way for the pigs to save face. We don't have to look back far to see that this has happened time and time again. The police don't know how to react to a decentralized, fluid force of mass skinny anarchists. It happened in Seattle, and it happened in St. Paul during the RNC.
Well, during the RNC, police had two dispatch centers, literally 20 feet apart, one for the convention, the other for the rest of the city. But for two crucial hours, there was a breakdown in communication between them, and no one was seeing the big picture.
It's the sound of St. Paul police losing control of their city. Police dispatch tapes from day one of the Republican convention show for a couple of hours between noon and 2 o'clock, downtown belonged to the anarchists.
When facing certain defeat, the pigs throw everything they got at the problem without much thought. To help me add the final cherry to my argument, I spoke with Christian Williams, author of Our Enemies in Blue. Hey Christian, how the fuck are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
So, can you break down for me why the police react the way that they do when they are punked?
The nature of the authority that's invested in the police is that they are
authorized to use violence. And now, it's very telling who they use the violence against. Disproportionately, it's men. Disproportionately, it's young men. Disproportionately, it's people of color and poor people. That tells us something about who they see it as their job to control. It also tells us something about who they see the as legitimate targets for their violence. So, and the equation here is pretty simple. It's that the police tend to direct their resources toward hassling people that aren't likely to cause them trouble. So they tend to be people who don't have the resources to fight back. Now, when people do fight back, especially when that takes the form of physical violence, the reaction of the authorities of violence against the police is hugely exaggerated compared to the reaction of the authorities to violence against, you know, other people in society. And, you know, this gets sort of explained in terms of sort of police heroism and the cops, you know, risking their lives to keep us all safe and that sort of thing. But really, it's a very, you know, simple need on the part of the state to maintain its monopoly on force. So if other people start using force, especially against the monopoly holder, then the position of the state as the final arbiter with the backing of force is challenged. So it's very important from the perspective of state building to maintain that monopoly.
And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. My heart goes out to all those brave peeps who challenged the power structure and are now caged in the guts of the system. I also want to thank all of those who supported this motherfucking show during our stay in TDOT, Toronto Media Co-op, Alternative Media Center, Double G, Dexter, Sean, Courtney, Bella, Harmony, Benjamin, Steven, Ted, Jason, Audrey, Shannon, Christopher, Gorilla, Michael, Dan, Peter, Jared, and the entire Fraser community. Saperga, to come in on this show or for links to more riot porn, just visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. Now repeat after me. G8, G20, they few, we many.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.
Listening to the Anarchy Show, Autonomous Action Radio on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM, and also rebroadcast on Z Digital on Tuesdays from 7 till 8 p.m. And the episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine featured burning police cars. So I thought I'd just read out, there's this beautiful piece written from written on anarchistnews.org, UK police wagons burn in Keynsham, and it's the Informal Anarchist Federation, the FAI, and I just thought I'd read a segment of it, and some police cars were burnt on the 6th of September this year. And there's quite a long story, but I'm going to read just a bit of it. Remember, the police state has still been found vulnerable. Now is the time the government choose to escalate electronic monitoring and travel restrictions and to roll out more obvious than ever occupation of several cities by the security forces, some against the backdrop of citizens herded through metal detectors and surrounded by fencing in open public places. Though enraged, we're neither shocked nor indignant. The supposed state of exception is the eternal trump card of democracy's totalitarianism. This is a war, and why leave escalation in the opponent's hands alone? When the police tell us increased presence in the latest terror scare or heightened powers thereafter is for our own safety, we know they mean increased control and forcing obedience through fear, with renewed social license to kill, often young non-white men, with the media's blessing. So we attack them regardless. Confronting our fears was easier than we once imagined. They too can feel some insecurity and risk, just like the precarious masses they subject to the orders of the state and the whims of the economy. Social norms, as our lives are taken out of our own hands piece by piece. Tension against paid-up bullies of the law constantly boils to the surface in class society. They're an obstacle to any kind of freedom and self-determination, out to pacify and neutralize those who, in whatever way, won't fit the social cage. And you can find that more of that reading on anarchistnews.org, Police Wagons Burn in Keensham. F-A-I. I'm going to mention again with the G20 that there's a people's march on Sunday on Sunday, November 15. It starts at 11 a.m. So this is in the middle of the G20, and it starts at 11 a.m. at the Roma Street Forum. The People's March is a peaceful, family-friendly event that challenges the legitimacy of the G20 as a decision-making body. In this era of harsh government attacks across the world on the community services and rights that we all hold dear, the G20 stands as an affront to us all. And there's an event page on Facebook. And you don't have to be a Facebook member to view the event page or the G20, the BrizCan-G20 page. And they also, I'm sure, have a website, so you can just search for that and find that. And Robin mentioned during the People's Forum on the G20 that the police don't need to wear weapons, which they'll surely be doing during the G20. And, it shows that the people really are a threat to the government and to the running of the G20, leaders of the world making decisions for you and I. So while we say the People's March is a peaceful, family-friendly event, you can be sure that the Blue Bloc will be wearing weapons. Peter, you have a comment?
There'll be plenty of police that you won't see either, who will be even more armed than the visible ones, I'm sure.
Yes. Snipers.
Yes, yeah.
Yes. And undercover cops, although they're slightly easier to
spot,
to spot out. And another thing that was mentioned during that episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was the agent provocateur accusation. And I guess maybe there will be agent provocateurs, but you have to be careful about outing agent provocateurs in case you're wrong, because that's happened a lot in Toronto.
Yes. I have some experience of that, yes. And but of course, the affinity group thing becomes very important. Be with people that you know and trust that, can counter those sorts of problems.
And people that you've known for a long time, because I know Franklin and Testament from Teste Logic, who was in Brisbane last year, put on a show in West End. They both had people befriend them who,
yes,
later it turns out that they're undercover cops, and so you just have to, especially if you're going to be doing anything illegal, not that, because you're going to follow the rule book and you're going to follow the police pamphlet which was given out last Tuesday night.
And basically, I think they'd rather you just didn't.
And make sure that no one is breaking the law in your group. Make sure there's no
jaywalking, no littering.
So, not that anyone's going to be breaking the law, because you're going to be following the handbook. I'll bring it along next week. It's a little leaflet that the police gave out. We're going to hear a song now from Adam Freeland, and it's called We Want Your Soul.
your cell phone, your wallet, your time, your ideas, no barcode, no party, no ID, no beers, your bank card, your license, your thoughts, your fears, no SIM card, no disco, no photo, not here, your blood, your sweat, your passions, your regrets, your profits, your time off, your fashions, your sex, your pills, your grass, your tits, your ass, your laughs, your balls, we want,
we want your soul.
Habits, your fads, your fears. Give us your address, your shoe size, your ears, your digits, your plans, your number, your eyes, your schedule, your desktop, your details, your life. Show us your children, your photos, your home. Here, take credit, take insurance, take a loan. Get a job, get a pension, get a haircut, get a suit. Play the lottery, play football, play the field, snort some toot. We'll show you dreams, we'll show you spooks, we'll buy you dreams, throw away your books. We'll sell you crap, we'll charge you debt. Wanna buy big guns,
we
we'll front them cash.
Your soul.
Emotions, your love, your dreams, your checkbook, your essence, your sweat, your screams, your security, your sobriety, your innocence, your society, yourself, your place, your distance, your space.
Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control again. Here, watch this. Shut up. You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
Matters. Here's Britney, here's cola, here's pizza, here's TV, here's some rock, and some roller. Watch commercials, more commercials, watch Jerry, not Oprah. Buy a better life, from the comfort of your sofa. Here's popcorn, here's magazines, here's milkshake, here's blue jeans, here's padded bars, here's armpit wax, here's football shirts, here's baseball caps, here's live talk shows, here's video games, here's Cola Light, here's tin bowling, here's filter tips, here's collagen lip, here's all night long, here's plastic tips.
We want your soul. We want your soul. We want your soul. We want your soul.
Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control again. Here, here's American Gladiators. Watch this. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Here is American Gladiators. Here is 56 channels of it. Watch these pituary retards bang their fucking skulls together and congratulate you on living in the land of freedom. Here you go, America. You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
Freaks, no skaters, no tweakers, no truth, no sleep. Here's popcorn, here's magazines, here's milkshake, here's blue jeans, here's padded bars, here's armpit wax, here's football shirts, here's baseball caps. Here's very, 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 very
very, very long infomercials.
That was Adam Freeland with We Want Your Soul. It's 10 minutes to 1 o'clock. And I just want to mention something that's happening this week, which I mentioned before, which is the Climate Summit. As Peter said to me that he's sick of hearing this Guy McPherson talk because it's pretty obvious that it's all, you know...
Now, Linda, that wasn't for broadcast, Linda, but yes, you're right.
Public comment.
Yes,
you've got to watch out being in the studio, what you say. And so the website is climatesummit.org.au, and it is happening this week in Brisbane. And I actually can't find where... Usefully enough, I can't actually find where the summit is happening. Climatesummit.org.au is the website, and also you can phone 1634. 1634. And a good comment which Ben Pennings from Generation Alpha made, which is in response to someone talking about renewable energy, because this is what I think about climate summits, is that they're going to be talking about renewable energy, and the first topic actually is that they're talking about business and so many clean technology businesses. This is Ben Penning's response to someone talking about renewable energy. 100% renewable energy is more of a nightmare, like giving a domestic violence perpetrator a different type of food. The abuse continues. The abusive relationship system continues. And then there's the damage solar and wind infrastructure can cause. The only green energy is less energy. We're going to hear the fifth part of the Guy McPherson talk about climate change and human extinction.
And so now these feedbacks are influencing each other. They're feeding off each other. We have warmer water going up there, releasing methane clathrates. Methane clathrates rise, release methane into the atmosphere. That causes the Atlantic water to be warmer, and so on. This is what Siberian methane looked like. This is permafrost degrading and producing methane in the atmosphere. And this is what it looked like in the summer of 2010. And so there are methane vents 30 centimeters in diameter in summer 2010. So scientists thinking they're cool. Go ahead and light that on fire so that we have this grand change in human consciousness I keep hearing about, so that everybody suddenly will stop burning fossil fuels, because people will see what we're doing. Notably, they'll see that their son can light a fire. This is what scientists are all about. Look, Mom, we made a fire. So this is summer 2010. There's these methane vents, and they're this big coming out of the permafrost. It's very exciting for the scientists who discovered this. And in summer 2011, they weren't lighting this on fire anymore because those methane vents were a kilometer across, a million-fold increase in size in a year. It's almost as if we've triggered rapid, unpredictable, and nonlinear responses. This is huge. Complete media blackout. Third self-reinforcing feedback loop reported in the Referee Journal of Children in 2011 was also from summer 2010, when a drought in the Amazon caused the lungs of the planet to be a source of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere because of rapid decomposition rather than a sink because of photosynthesis. It's actually been reported since at least 2000 in a paper in Nature, and there were summaries within the last year or so in two major journals. But it really got the attention of the scientific community, if not the mainstream media, when it happened in the Amazon. So I'm putting this in with the 2011 version, but we've arguably known about it since the year 2000. And finally, peat decomposition was the fourth self-reinforcing feedback loop reported in 2011. Peat decomposes in the world's boreal forests, and it's such a fragile source of carbon that upon decomposing, it causes vapor, carbon dioxide to vapor into the atmosphere almost immediately. It's like it's being burned up. Fire is just a rapid decomposition process. And so the peat is so fragile and has such a high surface area to volume ratio that when it breaks down, it's a very short period of time from solid to gaseous form. Okay, so four feedbacks in 2011 after the first being reported in 2010, and then six more in 2012, notice two of these six are not from the Referee Journal literature. One is from NASA, out of Russian forest and bog fires, increasing in size, a trend that was detected later throughout the world's forests. And the last one was reported by the U.S. National Snow and Ice Data Center, and the Beaufort Gyre apparently reversed course. I haven't seen any follow-up information on this, so we don't know if that's really the case. If it reversed course, it would start sucking the warm Atlantic water up instead of repelling it and pushing it back through the Fram Strait. But there's been no follow-up on that. I don't know if it has reversed course, so that's why I say apparently. So there's the six from 2012, and there's the six more from early 2013. I'm not going to go through them in detail. When I'm done here, I'll include a link to an oft-updated essay on my website that goes through the evidence for each of these and links to all of the papers. Again, five of the six are from the Referee Journal literature, the other is from NASA. And that gets us halfway through 2013. And then let's look at the other approximately half of 2013. And then the other four, so we have 16 in 2013. So we've gone from one in 2010, three or four in 2011, six in 2012, and 16 in 2013. Geological events are playing out in real time on the climate front. Finally, in 2014, we've observed three self-reinforcing feedback loops reported in the Referee Journal literature. And so if I'm doing the math right, that's a whole bunch. So now what? The question is, what do we do? What do we do? What do I do? The political response remains the same, according to your president. The message is somehow we're going to ignore jobs and growth simply to address climate change. I won't go for that. Priorities, baby. Jobs. Yeah, it's doing great, by the way. A Wall Street Advisor pointed out less than 2 months ago, anonymously, that the unemployment rate in this country is not 6.6%, as reported by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, not 6.6%. It's actually 37.2%. So that jobs and growth thing, that's working out great. Well, of course, the Obama administration has known for a long time what's going on in the world. They've known about all these papers, as sure as I have. And they received the briefing at COP15 from the Alliance of Small Island States that in the summary says, in bold type, long-term sea level corresponds to current CO2 concentration, which is 385 parts per million at the time, that's about 400, is about 23 meters above today's level, and the temperatures will be 6 degrees C or more higher. That's based on real long-term climate records, not models. So we know where we're headed. Based on current atmospheric concentration levels of carbon dioxide. Never mind methane. Ignore methane. This is where we're headed with respect to carbon dioxide alone. So for me, for the selective individual, what we do, since clearly we can't influence governments that don't care anyway, what can we do? Well, the moral philosopher Bruce Springsteen points out that in the end, what you don't surrender. Well, the world just strips away. Let's let go of the notion that we can have infinite growth on a finite planet with no consequences. Let's let go of the notion that humans are so special we can never drive ourselves to extinction, that we will never go extinct. After all, our species has been here for all of a quarter of a million years. Every species to arise has gone extinct, except for the relatively few that remain on the planet. And they'll go extinct too. Whether it's today, along with the 200 species we've driven to extinction so far, or tomorrow, or in 100 years, or in 100,000 years, all species go extinct. We make up stories to convince ourselves that we won't die, and that our species won't go extinct, but those are stories. The boss, by the way, was just quoting Zen Buddhism, let go or be dragged. Or popular culture, seize the day, carpe diem. When I present on college campuses, students often point out that I'm pronouncing this incorrectly. They're having a really bad day, as in crappy diem. My Latin was never that great. From Nietzsche, live as though the day were here, to which I would add, some words from that philosopher who preceded him by about 2,500 years. We named an oath after him in the medical community. First, do no harm. Yeah, that would be Hippocrates. Or from the Jewish poet Leon Staff, writing from the Warsaw Ghetto, even more than bread, we now need poetry in a time when it seems that it is not needed at all. I always finish with amazingly good news, as apparently I'm sort of a bummer. DNA is amazing. We get to die. We get to die. If that isn't awesome, I don't know what is. You know what the odds are against any collection of DNA being here in physical form? It's astronomical. I mentioned this earlier, there's 10 to the 80th, or somewhere between 10 to the 80th and 10 to 100th atoms in the entire universe. And the odds against having a below average temperature month for those 330 some months in a row, whatever it is now, exceed the odds against plucking a single atom from the entire universe. You know what the odds are against the collection of DNA in your body coming together in physical form? Far, far exceeds that. Way more. If I believed in miracles, I'd think we all were one. We get to die. And that makes us the lucky ones, because somehow, against those amazing odds, we came together to live. I hear all the time, you only live once. Not true. You only die once. You live every day. If you live. If you get out of your damn cube farm and stop doing what everybody else is doing, demonstrate your humanity, you get to live every day. Evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins points out, in the teeth of these stupefying odds, it is you and I that are privileged to be here, privileged with eyes to see where we are and brains to wonder why. Not only do we get to be here, there's a bunch of other critters that get to be here too, right? Trilobites, deer, mice, rats, rodents of unusual size. Oh, wait. That's from a movie. But we get to, not only do we get to be here with sentience, with these big brains that allow us the ability and the eyes to see where we are and the brains to wonder why. Why am I here? The great question that permeates all of humanity. Why? It starts when they're two. Why? Why is the sky blue? Why? And so on. Because some things just are, and some things just aren't. That's the answer to that one. No, we get to ponder the question, the existential, infinite question, why am I here and why are we here? And if that's too much for you, we got video games.
You've been listening to Autonomous Action Radio on Zed Digital. For more information about the show, you can go to autonomousactionradio.com or 4ZZZFM.org.au.
They're protecting the profits of the pharmaceutical and tobacco companies.